Let's just bow our heads for a prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you will take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, those of you who are parents or teachers know that if you want to inculcate good habits in your children, telling them and advising them is one thing, may have some results, but the real way is to set an example. A child who hears their parents thank someone for their hospitality is far more likely to say thank you at the end of a party than a child who hasn't had that experience. Example speaks louder than words. And so we're going to look first of all this morning at Jesus' example in prayer. The reading that we had, the first reading, tells us that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he'd finished, some of his disciples came and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And in answer, Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer, which we're not looking at today. As you've heard, we're going to have a series on that in the autumn. That was just one of the occasions in the Gospels when Jesus went off by himself quietly to pray. That was his regular custom. And the Bible writers show us that in all the significant events of Jesus' ministry, they were surrounded with prayer. In Luke 6, before choosing the 12 men who were to be his special helpers, Jesus spent all night in prayer with God. On another occasion, he was praying privately. The disciples close by, and he turned to them and asked them the searching question, "Who do you think that I am?" And it was Peter who replied for them all with his great confession, "You are the Christ of God." It was when he'd taken his three inner circle disciples, Peter, James, and John, to a mountaintop to pray that he was transfigured before them. And they saw him in all the glory that was really his as God's son. And then, of course, there was Gethsemane, which we were looking at a few weeks ago. Jesus' agony in prayer as he faced the cross. And not long before that, John records a lengthy prayer of Jesus where he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for us. Yes, he prayed for us today, those of us who believe on him through the witness of the disciples. On other occasions, we find Jesus speaking briefly and spontaneously to God when something particular has happened. For instance, when the 72 returned from their preaching tour, excited because they'd seen men and women responding to the message, Jesus exclaimed, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." And then we can't forget the prayer on the cross. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." So all in all, the message that we get from the Gospels is that prayer was something Jesus engaged in regularly, something that he considered essential, a really vital part of his life. And if it is important to Jesus So it's important for us, his disciples, as we follow his example. Incidentally, it's worth noting at the end of Luke 10, which is just before our reading that we had from Luke 11, they have the account of those two sisters, Mary and Martha, who entertained Jesus in their home. Martha busied herself providing the meal, bustling around, clattering the dishes, while Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him. She knew the joy of quiet communion with her master. Many of us, I think, when we read that account, our sympathies go out to Martha, don't they? Master, don't you care? My sister's left me all alone to do the work. Tell her to help me. And then Jesus' gentle rebuke. Martha, you're fussing about many things. Only one thing's needed, and Mary has chosen it. That will not be taken from her. Time that we spend praying, keeping company with God, is not wasted time. It bears fruit for eternity. Because when you think about it, our relationship with God is the most important relationship that we have. And so it needs time and effort to deepen it. Time set aside, which isn't rushed, as well as that consciousness of our Father's presence, which leads us to turn to him at any time in the day or the night. So prayer is important. It is a priority. But then secondly, Jesus taught us that we must persevere in prayer. In the parable that was read in that first reading, Luke 11, verses 5 to 8, the parable emphasizes this need to continue to persevere in prayer. The parable's a bit puzzling, I think. The setting is strange. A poor house at that time would have had one large space inside it. And at night, the bedrolls would be undone and the whole family settle on the floor to sleep. The door, kept open all day, was shut as a sign that the family was sleeping. So to get up and open it would disturb everyone, even the animals who were sleeping at the other end of the room. But the man who was knocking had a distinct need. A visitor had come from a long journey and there was no food. The day's baking had been consumed and Sainsbury's wasn't round the corner. So the visitors were hungry, the host was embarrassed. In the East, hospitality is a must, and he'd feel that he'd failed badly if he couldn't feed his guests. Hence the continuous knocking on his friend's door. He was a man with a need he believed that the neighbour could meet if he would. And so he was emboldened to persevere in knocking. And eventually the man did get up and gave him as much as he needed. He'd asked for 3 loaves. I wonder if he got 3, or maybe it was 2, maybe it was more. He got what he needed. Now, in understanding this parable, I think we have to understand first what a parable is. It's a story in which one thing is laid alongside another. And these things may be like each other, or they may be totally in contrast. And that's the case here. If a churlish and unwilling householder can be persuaded to get up and give something to his neighbour because of his shameless persistence, How much more will God, who is a loving Father, supply all his children's needs? So we're not to go away with the idea that God has to be bludgeoned before he will answer our prayers. The parable is about us, the prayer, and the attitude that we must have, and it's not describing God's character. That God longs to give good things to his children is shown a bit later on in Luke 11. In no way will he give snakes or scorpions to his children to cause them harm. Such things belong only to the realms of the devil. And if a human father who is sinful will give good gifts to his children, how much more will God? And verse 13 of chapter 11 says what sort of gift God will give. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, the Holy Spirit is the one whom Jesus promised would remind the disciples, remind us of all that he had taught. He's the Spirit of truth. But in our second reading, you may have noticed Romans 8, verse 26, Paul says, when we come to God feeling feeble and ineffective, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The gift of the Spirit to help and to guide us in our prayers is a precious one indeed. Have you ever found yourself thinking of someone that you haven't seen for some time? You think about them, they come to your mind, you pray for them. You don't know what their needs are. And sometime after, you discover that just at that moment, they were experiencing some great trauma, and they felt the power of God holding them. That's the prompting of the Spirit. And sometimes we want to pray for someone, but we don't really know what to ask. And I think at such times that we can name that person to our Father and leave them in his presence, asking the Spirit to work for them according to their needs and their situation. What is it we're trying to do when we pray? Are we trying to change God's mind about something? Or do we think that we can force him to do what we want or think we want? No, that's not prayer. Prayer is coming to our Father and laying that situation before him, believing that his love for us is such that he will answer in the way that he knows best. We mustn't try to tell him how we would solve the problem, but trust him to work as he pleases. Verses 9 to 10 of Luke 11, Jesus encourages us to bring our requests to our Father with faith and persistence. And he promises that we will be heard. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. All present imperatives, continuous tense. Some people see here a progression of intensity, but it's probably just the way that the Hebrews repeated things in different ways for emphasis. If we have come to Christ and belong to him, God is our Father. We are his children, and he delights to answer our prayers. well, that's fine, isn't it? Jesus has demonstrated the importance of prayer. He's told us to be persistent. But what about some of the problems that that raises in our minds? If God's almighty and all-knowing, does he need to be told about our needs? Well, in a sense, no. But prayer is the way that he's chosen for us to express our conscious need of him and admit our dependence on him. He doesn't just shower gifts on us, regardless of our readiness to receive. He waits for us to ask, to put things into words. James said, "You do not have because you do not ask." God wants us to ask. And then, what about the people who never pray? They appear to be fine, don't they? They have all they need. The farmer's seed grows as a result of his labour. The family meet their bills by hard work and careful budgeting. Their children pass their exams without any prayer. Yes, that may be true. God does give life and breath to all. He gives rain and fruitful seasons. His sun shines on the evil and the good. They all receive his creation gifts. But it's those who call on the name of the Lord who will be saved, who will receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace, who can enjoy a relationship with him which goes on beyond this life and into eternity. These are spiritual gifts that the man in the street has no part in. And then what about those heartfelt prayers that we've all prayed, which God doesn't appear to have answered? We prayed to pass an exam and we didn't. We prayed for a friend to get well and they didn't. We prayed to find a partner and we didn't. Prayer's not magic. Just think of some of the prayers that you have prayed in the past, and they don't seem to have been answered. Suppose God had given you every time what you requested. Would it have been for your good and the good of others? Our Heavenly Father is good and wise, and he can see the end from the beginning. And his purpose is always to work for our good. I can certainly think of prayers that I'm really glad God didn't answer in the way that I wanted. He answered all right, but he helped me to cooperate with his purpose rather than with my own selfishness. God calls us to trust him. And it is as we study the Bible, as we understand more of God's character and standards, that the Spirit helps us to align our wills with his, to know the way and the things for which we should pray. We live in an instant culture, don't we? Instant coffee, instant meals from the freezer, instant message and answer in the computer. But God calls us to persistence when it comes to prayer, and we cannot expect instant answers. I recall a young woman in the last church that we were in. She was invited by a neighbour to the women's meeting, and she came, a child in the creche, and all went well. She enjoyed it. She started coming to church, and after a while she committed her life to Christ and asked for baptism. And at the service, her grandmother came, and she was very excited. She told me that she'd been praying for her granddaughter from the day she was born. She said, "I've prayed for 30 plus years, and now I'm seeing the answer to my prayers." So let's take the command of Jesus. Ask, seek, knock, and the promise with it that we will receive. He does hear us, and God always answers in a way that leads to our good and to his honour. Should we just bow our heads for a moment? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us this wonderful gift of prayer, of being able to talk to you, to bring our thanks, our praise, our needs to you. Lord, as we pray, as the disciples did of old, teach us to pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.